celebrate maybe this time of the year, but there's no real significant scriptural purpose to it. There's no real foundation of the doctrine of resurrection. And that's a big doctrine the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 6, that every Christian should understand the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, what it means to us believers today. And we'd like to encourage you. It's not going to be a 7-point sermon, but we have a lot of information on what we can share with our family and viewers across the country today about you know, the resurrection of Jesus. So
exactly. We've been talking about just over the last few days, and I was really challenged in my faith to realize, wow, you know, the resurrection is the cornerstone of the gospel. If we don't know about the resurrection, if we don't have that part, you know, really in our spirit, then we're missing a lot.
Yes.
About what God has done and wants to do. Everything hangs on the resurrection, doesn't it?
Exactly. You know, we're going to talk about if Jesus didn't, if he wasn't raised from the dead, you know, it's meaningless. So we're going to talk about all that. So we're going to go to the story about the resurrection on Sunday morning and what happened there. And so I guess we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 24, right?
Yes. And there's, okay. Of course, this is in every gospel recorded, but we're going to read just for the sake of time from the book of Luke, chapter 24. I'm reading from the NLT version, and we're going to start reading from verse 1. So you can go to your Bibles and join along, or you can look on the screen as well. So it starts like this. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. So it was traditional that the women would prepare the body, and they were there to prepare the body of Jesus. They couldn't go the day before because it was Sabbath, so they had to wait till the next day. They found, this is verse 2, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back to the tomb, from the tomb, to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened.
Wow, that's the story of the resurrection. A little bit, you know, in the gospel account of Matthew, there's a more detail given, but here it gives us the whole situation, what happened there. The women went there and they, you know, found Jesus had been risen from the dead, and somebody there with dazzling white clothes. He said, "Sound like Mr. Clean." But you know, if you, they saw an angel evidently, or a couple of angels, and they were saying, "Jesus is not here." Mm-hmm. You know, I think about the time when I first was born again. And shortly after, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, had an amazing encounter with the Holy Spirit. And what happened was the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to tell you all about me. And so when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, an encounter with the Spirit of Acts chapter 2:4, what I saw in a vision, I saw the empty tomb. That Jesus was risen. The first thing the Holy Spirit told me, that Jesus was risen from the dead, like he told these people. And that was a pretty strong encounter for me. And I'm sure these ladies here were very dazzled, not only by the man's white clothing, but the word that came, that he's risen from the dead. And I think every one of us that are Christians, you know, this Sunday morning, this is not about Easter bunnies, and thank God for chocolates and candy and stuff like that, and kids can enjoy that. But this is more important, more significant to our spirits, that to know that Jesus is risen from the dead. In fact, Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, praying that they would know the power, you know, they know the significance of what does it mean that Jesus rose from the dead. And so It is such a powerful experience. So let's look at some scripture here that we can look at this morning. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 1. And we want to talk about the significance of the resurrection. What does it mean to us today? Let's go to Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 1 to 4. Paul writes out to the Roman Christians. Paul, a bondservant, I'm reading the King James, of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. I guess, he's telling here about his experience. He's a bondservant. He's a love slave to Jesus. And that's a significant thing, too, when we get saved. We want to do what Jesus tells us when we get born again. When I got saved, I was gloriously saved. I was depressed all my life. I never knew I was oppressed all my life. And I had something nagging me. And I think there's a whole pile of people, maybe on my Facebook, they're just mad at everything, mad at everybody. And every time they can criticize, they'll get a chance to do it, they'll do it. I was that way. I was so oppressed by the enemy, I didn't know it until the veil was taken away, which the Bible tells us that there is a covering over people. They can't see the gospel. They can't see the love of God. And the Bible says that Paul is a bondservant. And the bondservant is someone who wants to follow Jesus, giving their life to Christ and doing whatever he says to do, knowing that he'll never hurt them. He'll never... You know, when you come to Jesus, he will never hurt you. He's going to give you life, and he's going to give it abundantly. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And he was called from the very beginning to be an apostle, but he didn't start out in life as an apostle. He started off as a preacher like everybody else. Every one of us starts off as a preacher, and then we go into the different levels of our calling, because obviously, if you get born again, and you can't just jump right into the phase where God wants you to, else you wouldn't grow into it. You couldn't fit into it. I think about it now. If I go back 25 years or even the 30 years, and I had the responsibility I have now with all the television ministry, with the church and all the other things, I couldn't handle it because my faith hadn't grown into that area where I can handle the call. And so Paul didn't become apostle overnight. He had to elevate into it as God saw fit with his faithfulness. He said, separate it unto the gospel. And so we teach our Bible school students, there's something in verse 1, it says called, and number 2, separated. Every one of us can know we're called, but it takes some little bit of gumption, a little bit of maturity to actually be separated unto something, because when we're separated into something, it's something that happens in a gradual way. So, he said, verse 2 says, okay, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before the prophets and the holy scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared, verse 4 says, and declared to be the son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And so here we see the resurrection from the dead is so significant to us, and I want to mention some things later about what it means. You know, what does this mean to be resurrected from the dead, what our Savior is. So the doctrine of the resurrection is so important, so significant to us this Sunday morning. And a lot of us here, traditionally, we hear stories, but I think we haven't been founded upon the Scriptures as much as we should have, because of tradition. We follow tradition Sunday morning. You know, we want to do the traditional things that we do without really teaching on it on a yearly basis, teach it from time to time. Like, we shouldn't just be teaching this on Resurrection Sunday. We should be teaching more aspects of it throughout the whole year. And so we don't just pile our resurrection story just on one Sunday morning, maybe half an hour or 45 minutes. How much information can you get with the same thing every year? You have to wait till next year to hear the same story or something significant to it. So the doctrine of the resurrection is absolutely central to the Christian faith. If the resurrection of Jesus is not totally true, then everything in the Bible, in the life of Jesus that precedes it, from Genesis to the end of the Gospels, and everything that follows it, the book of Acts through the book of Revelation, means absolutely nothing or is meaningless if Jesus wasn't risen from the dead. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 to 19. And I hope you're following this in your Bibles back home. And it's important to understand about the resurrection. It's so, so important because it will help you in your everyday faith life. So 1 Corinthians 15, starting from verse 14 to verse 19. And if Jesus is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Verse 15. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he is risen up Jesus, or at least Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Verse 17, if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Verse 18, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Verse 19, if in this life you only have hope in Christ, then we are all of men most pitiful. So let's look at eight things here for a second. We'll just mention this from the scriptures about the resurrection. Without the resurrection, this is the understanding that if Jesus wasn't risen from the dead, number one, our preaching is useless. It doesn't help anybody. It's not going to help you now or after you die. Number two, your faith is useless. Like, why would you pray to God or what? Pray to God? Jesus said, pray to God and you know, follow all these rules or whatever you understand from the scripture. Then that would be useless. So your faith would be useless. Number three, we are false witnesses. Then everything we're doing right here on television and every other Christian church in the world is false. You know, in fact, these guys were saying, these apostles says, then our witness is false. And so you cannot stand on something that's not true. Verse 4, or number 4, no dead will ever be raised. What a sad day that is, you know, where we teach in the Christian church that one day everybody will be raised from the dead. In fact, when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says when he rose from the dead or when he died on Calvary, the world shook and tombs were opened. People were raised from the dead when Jesus died. And people walked out of the graves, and they're walking around downtown. I mean, that's kind of scary almost. I mean, zombie-like. But, hey, I saw Grandpa. I mean, he's been dead for a number of years. But that'd be kind of scary. But anyway, I couldn't imagine how that happened. But it did happen. The Bible says it did.
I think they jumped in on that power. The power that raised Jesus overflowed to the others. But, yeah, what a day that must have been. Yeah. And this resurrection, you know, just to interject, was so powerful. I mean, the early church, all the apostles were martyred for this truth. Mm-hmm. They stood by the fact that Jesus rose again. So they gave their lives for that. Mm-hmm. So if that was a lie, then even their lives, their martyrdom, mm-hmm. you know, what was it for? So
well, yeah, it's like it says, useless. It's, what good is it? So number four, as we mentioned, no dead will ever be raised to life. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then no one that has died will ever be raised from the dead. So that's very central to our Christian faith because the Bible says one day Jesus will come back. He's not going to sit when he first comes back, he's not going to set his foot on the earth, but he's going to be in the air. And then everyone who's died, the one who's already dead, is going to be raised up to meet him in the air, and then we who are alive, if we're alive, if he came back right now, we would follow those who actually are dead. You know, we're going to see everybody raised. That's powerful. So number five, your faith is futile. You know, everything you base your faith on about the resurrection, everything you believe, it's not going to help you. What good is it? And number six, you're still in your sins, and that's the basis of it, right? That if he died for our sins, he was raised for our justification, the Bible says. So if he wasn't raised from the dead, then we're still in our sins, according to the scriptures, or at least according to what we understand. Verse 7, all who have trusted in Christ are lost. You know, those people who put their faith in Jesus before they died, they're lost people. Maybe there's another way they should have been believing. Maybe there's another religion they should have joined. So if you put your trust in Jesus, then you're lost. And number eight, we are so to be pitied of everybody in the whole world. Like, what a poor bunch of people believing in this Jesus being raised from the dead. You know, the world looked at us and said, these guys believe that. In fact, people actually think we're stupid or backward, and they think, this is, how could you believe that someone's been raised from the dead? How could you believe that Jesus is the way, the only way? He said, I'm the only way to the Father. You know, if this is not true, then we're really pitiful people. So if Jesus had not been risen from the dead, his own expectations are disappointed, and he repeated his promises, are proven false. His assurance are worthless. In that case, whoever else the Nazarene might have, that Jesus might have been, he certainly was not and is not Lord if Jesus has not risen from the dead or from the grave. His disciples are incompetent transmitters of truth, for his doctrine was the cornerstone of the apostolic teaching. Worse, they are actually false witnesses, claiming to be eyewitnesses of a miracle that never truly happened. And if Jesus has not risen from the grave, if his body once lay moldering in Joseph's tomb and is now forgotten dust, his death is still final, you know. And so there's no good news for the dying. If someone is dead, what good is it? So we need to see, you know, we need to see more teaching on here, more teaching about the resurrection than ever before. So let's look at some things right here. If the resurrection is not true, what difference does it make? Let's say, when we look at the Old Testament. So if Jesus is not risen from the dead, then all these stories and all these types and shadows that we look in the Bible doesn't mean nothing to us today. For instance, let's say Noah's Ark was built, and it's a type of salvation. And so it doesn't matter that Noah built an ark. It doesn't matter. It's meaningless. It doesn't matter that Moses led the children of Israel into the Canaan land. What does it matter to us? It's a type and shadow of us obtaining the promises of God. It doesn't matter to us. So what David slew the giant, that's a new term. So David slew the giant. So what does that mean to us? Well, you know, we can overcome all odds against us. Joshua, that's a new native guy. Joshua conquered Jericho. Joshua, he's a brand new guy. Do you know Joshua? Anyway, Joshua conquered Jericho. You know, I used to tease my dad when he was older about his pronunciation. So now I'm getting it all back. So Daniel spent the night in the lion's den. In that story, what does that mean? Let me tell you about the lion, Daniel, and the lion's den. So what does it mean to us? Jesus walked in the water and fed the multitude. Pastor Ken was talking about Jesus feeding the multitude this morning about his offering. So that wouldn't make sense. People say, what is he talking about? Jesus multiplying. If that's not true, I mean, this is all false. So the church in the book of Acts grew rapidly. So what does that mean? All these things, all these facts in the Bible. So Paul's letters are all false. He wrote most of the New Testament about the resurrection and significance of Jesus being raised from the dead, and he being our Lord and Savior. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back. Well, if he didn't raise from the dead, he's not coming back. And so in his argument in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul went on to say in verse 32, if the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink and we die tomorrow. So let us just enjoy ourselves. Do what you want to do, and just enjoy your life, you know. So, you know, it's important that we understand the resurrection from the dead. I mean, I can think of a lot of Christians, they're doing crazy things already without knowing certain facts. But imagine if everyone did not believe in the resurrection, what chaos would we be right now? I mean, we might be killing each other, the whole church. I mean, let's go and destroy this. So this is very significant. Of what is considered great faith in different religions of the world, Christianity alone stakes its entire claim on the basis of the existence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, its founder. Nothing more, nothing less. Christianity is based is not based on a set of ideas or creeds or morals or beliefs or lifestyle, discipline or practices. Christianity may produce some of those things, but genuine biblical Christianity is based entirely and exclusively on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is a vital part of our total uniqueness, the total uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Jesus was unique in every aspect of his person. His birth was a miraculous experience. You know, we were watching last night some of the show about, you know, Jesus Christ, that movie, and his birth. His mom was visited by an angel and said, "You're going to have a child." She said, "Well, how am I? I don't know a man. I'm just a young person here, minding my own business." Isn't that the same, you know, like Jesus? Well, I don't know about you, but, you know, when Jesus came to my life and called me to the ministry, it was such a supernatural calling for my life. Like, I was doing okay. I was, I came out of the treatment center, and I'm back in school, got my life straight, and I got it all planned out neatly, what I'm thinking, that what I'm going to do with my life. And I've already went ahead and did some things, and Jesus comes into my car and tells me I'm called to the ministry. It happened in a moment of time. You know, the scripture says in Luke 4, when the devil came in the moment of time and told Jesus, you know, if you will worship me, you know, if you're the Son of God, so on and so on, begin to tempt him. Well, in the moment of time, in the spirit, that could happen in the moment of time. So, you know, some people say when they die, they said their life, they were just dying, and their life, I'm not, so they kind of flashed before them. I think this is the same kind of experience. When Jesus came to me in my car when I came out of school that one night, it was a Thursday night, I remember coming out of school, and I got in my car, I'm driving towards Pembina Highway from the University of Manitoba, and the Lord came and sat beside me and called me to the ministry. And I came home to you, you know, on Dalhousie Drive, University Drive there. And I said, you know, hey, I had this experience. We talked about it, and you believed me. The thing about it, that's the supernatural thing about it. You believed me, didn't you?
I did. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about that, these interruptions that the Lord, Jesus will come and interrupt your life. He'll mess up your plans, but it's for a higher purpose and a higher cause. I mean, I think of Paul. Paul was Saul, you know, walking around, you know, doing what he thought was God's will, and he was interrupted majorly, you know, and God even changed his name to Paul.
Slapped him so hard.
The S fell off. Right? So he became, a great apostle. And that was an interruption in his life. And, you know, Mary, you were talking about Mary, that was a huge interruption. She was just going about, you know, serving, being a nice young lady. And you know, all of a sudden, she's carrying a baby.
You can't believe all these things without the Spirit.
Right.
With the Holy Spirit. Like, that's a supernatural. To be able to believe, God gives us the power to believe him. He gives us the faith. He furnishes the faith. So that we can believe him and all these things. You know, when I became a minister, I couldn't believe it as well. Why would God call me? And a number of years after, I kept asking myself, why would God call me? I don't believe this. And when you have an encounter, a spiritual encounter, you come out of it, it's like it didn't happen. Because you're now back in the natural. Because I remember having such an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I went out into the Spirit. And it was such a glorious experience, and I didn't realize I was actually in the world. And I came back into it seemed like in my body, I was aware of my body and my presence, and the presence of the world. It was such a powerfully odd experience to me that I'd never had this before. And so it was such a powerful experience, it moved me and changed me in a way, in a greater faith level. But after I had that experience, the next day the devil came to me and told me that didn't happen. And I almost believed him. If I stayed in the flesh, or at least in my natural thinking, I would have not believed it. So when Paul talks about this is all foolishness to someone who doesn't have the Spirit. Like, you cannot understand this Bible unless the Holy Spirit gives you. It's a spiritual book. This is not empty words. This is the Word of God, folks. And you can't understand the Bible. Like, a lot of people try to understand this without the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit. And so all the experiences that we have in this, as a Christian, you know, people give testimonies of different things, but you can hardly believe their testimony. I mean, Jesus being raised from the dead is such a powerful experience, powerful situation. You know, when you think about it, here's some aspect of it. That the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not about just, overcoming rigor mortis. It's more than that. His Spirit was raised. You know, the Bible says he died on the cross. He gave up his ghost. He became sin for us. He died spiritually. And then he died physically, gave up the ghost, and he went down. But he was raised from the Spirit, from the below, underneath the world, in the world, wherever that is. I don't know where it is. It says it's down there somewhere. I don't know if it's down here in this physical world, somewhere. But I believe what it says. So the Bible says the Holy Spirit quickened them after 3 days. I read in the book of Romans that the Holy Spirit went and quickened Jesus, made him alive. And at that moment that he was raised from the dead down there, we were raised down there. When he was on the cross, we were there with him, the scripture says. Because Paul says, this is called identification. When he was on the cross, we were there with him, suffering along with Jesus. So, you can't believe this unless the Holy Spirit helps you.
And I like what Paul said. Even though he had all these experiences, these powerful experiences, he said the main thing that he wanted to know was the power of his resurrection. So there's power in that resurrection. Like you said, it's not just overcoming rigor mortis, but there's a resurrection power, a dunamis power, a Zoe life, you know, God's life that comes into us. And anything is possible when that life, that resurrection comes into our lives. You know, healing is possible. A new life is possible. Your dream is possible. With that resurrection power, you know, you can go anywhere with God. It's so exciting.
You know, and I can thoroughly understand today. Like, I see some schoolmates that went when I went to college or somewhere. They could not believe I became a minister. They could not believe. They think of Roma as that person they knew when I was in first year of college or the college days or even before that. When I go back home, maybe people see me the same thing. I understand that. And I understand they can't see the significance. They can't believe that, but they know something happened to me. I just changed religion. That's probably just about it. We had more than a changed religion when we met Jesus. Jesus came into me. Death came out of me. The death spirit, the Adamic death spirit came out of me. God quickened me. The moment Jesus was quickened by the Holy Spirit down there, when I received Jesus, my spirit was quickened. Holy Spirit came to live inside me. And so I can understand why people who maybe that I knew years back don't understand that their old Roma is dead. That's why Paul said, my old man is crucified with Christ on the cross. We're brand new people. You know?
Yeah, that new life, you know, and we've changed families, right? We were in the family of the enemy's camp, and then we get adopted into God's family. That's another, powerful way to identify, you know, God's our Father now. And that's so powerful to know that, you know, we're in the family of God.
Yeah, it's amazing. All these things that we experience as brand new believers in Christ, what a powerful experience. Because of the resurrection of Jesus. And I said to you, like, when the Holy Spirit came in my life, the first thing I saw in all reality was the resurrection of Jesus. I knew that Jesus was risen from the dead. And this morning, somebody out there somewhere in this particular time of preaching, a ministry, somebody out there is going to experience this brand new resurrection life. And somebody is going to experience the Holy Spirit like they've never had before. The Holy Spirit is going to go out there and touch you wherever you are. Maybe you're in some hotel room watching this program. Maybe you're driving your car. Maybe you're eating at your breakfast table. It's a Sunday morning, you had a long night, and maybe you were drinking last night. Maybe you're taking drugs. But the power of God, I'm praying that the power of God is touching people this morning. Is nothing shall be impossible. This power of God, this resurrection, if Jesus can be raised by the power of the Holy Spirit from hell, he can certainly resurrect someone in the drug condition right now, or somebody who's thinking about dying and whatever. He can do it right now. That's the power that we have today. And that's why we preach this gospel like this. Paul said in Corinthians, first chapter there, he said, it's foolishness to those people who are perishing. It's foolishness. And the psalmist says that the people said, the fool said, there's no God. But there is a God.
There is. And I think about the disciples in this this whole story, you know, Easter story, how discouraged they must have been. You know, they saw Jesus on the cross. They saw the blood. They saw the death. They saw the body hauled off into the tomb. Actually, the women stayed and watched, so they knew exactly which tomb he was in. So all the discouragement and the disciples, the guys, didn't even go to the tomb in the morning. They were just so sad. They were probably just grieving. And even on the road to Emmaus, they were very discouraged, you know, knowing that, you know, this great Savior was taken from them. So it's the same thing in our lives. Sometimes we see something we think, you know, we've experienced a death, maybe a death of our dreams or a death of a loved one or just a discouragement in our lives. But that resurrection power can work in your life. And imagine the joy of the disciples and these women when they saw, hey, the body's not there. It's true. He is risen from the dead. And by the way, Mary Magdalene, who seven demons were exorcised from her by Jesus, she was the first one to declare that the resurrection had happened. So God used the most unlikely candidate, the unlikely preacher, to declare the resurrection. So God can use you. Whatever has been happening in your life, resurrection power can come in and totally transform your life, and it has in our lives as well.
Amen. Thank God for the resurrection power of God. I think we're going to go to a song here. We have a song, I believe, coming up with someone. So thank God for ministry. I thank God for the ministry of song, ministry of music. People can sing, play guitar, you know. I mean, I can sing and the Holy Ghost is on me, but other than that, I'm at loss, so thank God for the Holy Ghost. So
then when we come back, we're going to have communion together. We're going to pray together. So don't leave yet. Just enjoy this song. Get your heart ready for this time of communion, and we'll be right back.
Okay. We'll go right back.